The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Grains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined, as always, by Eric, the Deep State Operative.
Hi, thank you, Mike, and I'd like to welcome our special guest, Kash Patel, who is here to talk about anything at all except for the thing he's supposed to be doing right now.
Get on more podcasts, Kash. That's how you do your job, as the director of the FBI. Steph's here. I'm going to bring in Steph before I go on a rant.
Yes, I also work for the FBI in my imagination, and I've done a better job at catching people than the real FBI.
It is, I mean, like, of all the things that just makes me want to just throw shit at a wall, like, I want to go into one of those rage rooms that's very bad for you because it conditions your mind to accept anger as a good thing, and it's, don't do rage rooms. They sound like a great idea. They're very bad. But my rage room situation is just the fact that going into the 2024 election, as America was heading to the polls to decide who would run our great nation, one thing that never came up at all ever was who was going to staff the potential Trump administration. No one in our media was just thinking, hey, Donald, you have a lot of weirdos in your orbit. Are you going to give those weirdos really important fucking jobs that they might fuck up because they're unqualified morons?
Why ask? And, I mean, the man works 23 and a half hours a day. So, I mean, why would he even need a staff?
The God Emperor who works 25, 8, 400, who, like, the only time he's not doing everything in his power for America is the brief fleeting moments he succumbs to the temptations of the flesh and satisfies Melania in ways no human could ever possibly describe. This titan of both politics and sex that is our God Emperor president. So glorious. But no one in the press was just thinking to themselves, hey, what if this idiot puts a podcaster in charge of the FBI? What if he puts an anti-vax quack in charge of our health care systems? What if he puts a drunk from Fox News in charge of our Defense Department? Could this lead to potentially bad outcomes? Nah, he does a silly little dance, and he scoops some fries at McDonald's, and Kamala has a weird laugh, and Kamala is like a D- on Israel-Palestine, while Trump's an F. So, I mean, you can't vote for the D-. You gotta let the F win. That's the way our politics works.
F for freaking awesome.
Yeah, F for freaking awesome. Yeah. Trump Tower Gaza. That's what the Palestinians want. Yeah. Dealing with this, even now, a year after the election, quote-unquote Palestinian activists being like, we were right to do what we did. It's like, oh, well then, combobulations of Lizagirth. Anyhow.
Yeah, and I remember in the prep work for the election, I was telling all these people, these progressives, you know, the genocide Joe and killer Kamala people, I'm telling all them, you realize that Trump and his son-in-law want to turn Gaza into, you know, into beachside property. And they're like, no, he doesn't. So I show them clips of Jared Kushner saying that. And they're like, yeah, well, Kamala bad. That was the basis of their argument. They couldn't actually articulate anything.
No. The thing that people, and for all of those who are, all of those of you who are tuning out right now because the Omnicause demands that you be on the other side of this, and I get it. I feel you. I can't wait for your excuse in 2028. But the point I make to these people a lot is that Kamala Harris was a powerless advisor in the Trump administration. That was her actual job. Any stink Biden administration. Yeah. Again, thank you for correcting me. I hate when that happens. But I'm saying, like, the vice presidency is worthless unless the current president gets dropped or impeached and actually convicted. Then it's incredible. The vice presidency is like a Powerball ticket. That's all it is. And sometimes you can finagle that Powerball ticket into the presidency, like Joe Biden did, or Richard Nixon, or Lyndon Johnson. He got in via murder. And other people take the vice presidency and then vanish into obscurity, like Mike Pence and Dan Quayle or Al Gore. I mean, this is the thing, is that all the power of the vice presidency is to break ties in the Senate and to be in the room when the president's like, so what should we do about this situation? And then you give the president your 2 cents. And then the president looks at you and goes, you know why I picked you? To win your state. And I didn't even win your state because you fucking suck. Get out of the goddamn room, you piece of shit. And then the vice president's like, I'm sorry. And you're like, damn right you're sorry. And that's it. During the course of this podcast, I'm going to have to look up. Oh no, I remembered it. Bobby Kennedy and a lot of the Kennedy family and their cohort called Lyndon Johnson Rufus Cornpoke. That was their name for Lyndon during the Kennedy administration because they fucking hated him. And they were like, thanks for winning us Texas, asshole. Now go sit in the goddamn corner. And then Kennedy got his head blown off. And they were like, ah, beans, now this guy's running America. How did that happen? But that's the vice presidency. You're Rufus Cornpoke. That's what the president thinks of you. But yeah, so anyhow, Kamala couldn't have done shit about shit until she won the presidency. And then we could have seen what her foreign policy was. But guess what? We didn't get to do that because everyone was like, you know what we need? We need 2 scoops of Trump. And boy, howdy, have we obtained 2 scoops of Trump. And it's great. And by great, I mean fucking terrible. And what is today's current terribleness of Trump? Well, guess what? Strap in. It's a 4-hour episode. You've probably seen it. We got 7 ad breaks. Oh, my God. You're going to get so much. You're going to hear about Mint Mobile so much. It's going to make your head spin. It's going to be incredible. But
well, if you want to start off on a somewhat light note, we can bring up the plaques.
The breaking news plaque, they look like they were AI written gibberish. I
don't know. I didn't read them all, but I glanced through some of them and it looks, and I would not be surprised if Trump did not personally write and say, this is what it has to say. Cause it reads like one of his fucking old man yells at cloud tweets.
Yeah. If you don't know what Eric's talking about, basically there's a wall of presidents' photos and portraits in the White House, and they have now hung plaques
right outside the Oval Office.
Right outside the Oval Office, they've now hung plaques under them that are basically like Obama, kind of a piece of shit; Joe Biden, a fucking loser, and so on. It's basically just a Mean Girl slam book in the form of plaques under presidents' portraits.
Obama got 2 plaques because Trump's hatred for the man could not be contained in 1 plaque.
Yeah.
And of course, he makes sure to use his middle name. Because God forbid anybody ever forget that he just so happened to share a name with the president of Iraq.
What I'm thinking of right now is that what Donald Trump needs to do is he needs to take he needs to follow the lead of the nutballs at the Texas School Book Depository, where the historical plaque for the Texas School Book Depository is, and people like carved all around the word allegedly, so it pops when you look at the plaque and it says Lee Harvey Oswald allegedly shot President Kennedy from here. He needs to take the scalpel, he needs to take his little knife and just carve around the word Hussein, so the Hussein on the plaque like pops. The word allegedly pops at the Texas School Book Depository. And really let everybody know Barack Hussein Obama. really jab that knife in there. Let them know.
And somebody who did read the whole thing pointed out that Trump mentions himself 3 times in the Obama plaque.
Of course he does. He's a crippling narcissist. The only thing a man can talk about is himself.
And as much as he may be pissed off at Joe Biden for handing him his only acknowledged defeat, that will never, you know, that'll never come close. That is like a mild sunburn compared to the flaming nimbus of sunlight that is his hatred for Barack Hussein Obama.
You know, there's a part of him as his brain slowly dies from Alzheimer's, as he sees the light and his dead relatives beckoning him. There's a part of him that just thinks about it. And he's like, you know, man, I won two presidential elections. I've done this shit. I'm fucking king shit of fuck mountain. I should have run in 2012. I should have fucked Obama up and beat his ass. You just know that, like, there's this part of him that's just mad that he let Romney, like, take the shot at the champ in 2012. Because I can never find these polls. Like, every time I've ever done a Google search for this shit, I just can't get them to pop. But I lived through it, so I know this is true. Even though at some point someone's going to be like, Grandpa Reigns, you're insane. No, this didn't happen. Time to get you to bed now. But in 2012, while the serious Republicans were on bent knee begging Chris Christie to get his ass in the race to give them a chance at beating Obama, when Trump was on Fox News promoting birtherism and all this shit, they were doing hypothetical polls, and Trump was beating Romney consistently in those hypothetical polls. So if Trump had just gone in on 2012 and been like, Barack Hussein Obama was born in Kenya, fuck him, he probably would have run the Republican nomination very easily, and we would have had the most racist presidential campaign imaginable. It would have been incredible. And obviously, I think Obama crushes him.
But there would have been betting pools on how long it takes him to use the N-word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the third debate. He would have broken. Oh, God. Third debate. Yeah. But I mean, it's just a thing that, like, obviously it gnaws at him now that, like, because he's like, hey, I've done it. I'm a two-termer. I'm the champ. I'm the best president there ever was. I'm the best campaigner there ever was. And in his, like, fleeting moments of lucidity, he's like, God damn it. I would have beaten Obama. I fucking hate that these people think I wouldn't have. I absolutely would have. And I think that's really what gets his goat, is that he knows that that 2012 nomination was there on a silver platter for him. He would have punked out Romney in two. Romney would have dropped out in New Hampshire and started crying if Trump had gotten into that race. And now Trump's just looking back at it and he's like, I could have made Obama a one-termer. I would have been the man. I would have gotten in and out before COVID. Oh, it would have been great. And it's just, no. So, yeah, sorry. Sorry, Donnie. Sorry. Sorry. It all didn't work out for you. But
yeah, Hillary could have been president for COVID.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. Drop that grenade in her lap. See ya. So, yeah, I just.
Oh, man. Can you imagine the Clinton body count if she had been president during COVID?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I would say, ahead. If you listen to some people, some conspiracy theorists, I think that would have just been like a percentage point of her body count.
Oh, yeah.
Considering they seem to think that the population of the earth would be like 20 billion without her.
Well, yeah, without Hillary slaughtering every human being that hovers into her field of vision. I remember someone made the really great point that in 2020, we would have had President-elect Cotton winning in a landslide because the 50,000 dead we had from COVID under President Clinton was such a national disgrace. We had no choice but to run her out on a rail in a landslide. So, yeah, I just and I fully believe that. I fully believe they would have done – the media would have done everything in their power to kneecap Hillary and make sure she was only a one-termer. So that would have been – it would have been magical. So the plaques happened. That was great. And, thankfully our president, who is full of tact and decorum, has not done anything else that's really stupid and terrible. Oh, wait, no, I'm totally wrong. As you well know by now that you're listening to this, mortal enemy of the podcast, Rob Reiner, was, tragically murdered along with his wife, probably by his son.
Yeah, allegedly. Gotta use that.
When fucking Alan Jackson plays the Adventures in Hell World podcast to say the jury pool's been tainted and they get the kid off, oh man, I'm going to look bad. So yeah. And for those of you who don't live in Massachusetts, Alan Jackson was the heavy hitter that came in to get Karen Reed acquitted in her case. So us Bay Staters are a bit displeased by the news that he's now representing Nick Reiner, because we know him as the hero fighting the corrupt cops of Massachusetts and getting justice for Karen Reed. And now he's representing alleged, but also probably a very obvious murderer, Nick Reiner in this case. And it's like, Alan, baby, what are you doing? You're getting rid of that Karen Reed shine. You could have been the governor of Massachusetts if you wanted it. And now you're doing this. This isn't a great look.
I hope this doesn't turn into another OJ trial.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, somehow he gets Nick acquitted. And it's like, everyone's like, no, what the fuck? No, bad, wrong. Yeah. So I'm not even going to get into Trump's recent piss whine about Raphael Warnock saying something on TV.
I actually missed that.
Yeah, it just happened. It's great.
Oh, okay. Because obviously the last 24 hours has been all about what he said about Rob Reiner. I mean, so much so that I don't think we even have to spell it out.
No, yeah, but basically, Donald Trump went on a very long rant where he basically said that Rob Reiner had Trump derangement syndrome, and this is why he died, which is to say someone was so angry at Rob Reiner's shitty liberalism, they killed him to shut him up, which was a really weird fucking thing to say. And Trump really centered himself in Rob Reiner's death, which is a very weird thing for anyone to do.
Except for him, because he centers himself in fucking everything. He's made Mother's Day about himself, for God's sake.
Yes. But not the Epstein stuff. He doesn't center himself there.
Weirdly.
Although, you know, this could all be, since everything is a distraction from everything else, as we all know, this could be his way of trying to distract from when he accidentally said that the brown shooter had been located and then had to retract it.
Yeah. As Alice Roosevelt, the daughter of Teddy Roosevelt, said about her father, and this applies very much to Trump, he wants to be the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral, and the baby at every christening. So it is just, this is a man who only wants attention at all times, always. So, go ahead.
No, I was looking something up because I was curious, because it's a little fun fact that the current government in Iran is partially the fault of the grandson of Theodore Roosevelt, Kermit Roosevelt. So I went looked it up, but no, that was not his mother. That was actually his aunt, Alice. Uh-huh. That would have been a funny little tie-in, though.
Yes, it would have.
But go ahead and Google it. You'll see it. Kermit Roosevelt installed the Ayatollah.
That son of a bitch. Yeah,
because he thought he'd be better for America than the Shah.
Yeah, but yeah. So Trump said this horrible thing, and what was really awesome about this was that he does this, and before he does this, there are all these right wingers online who get on their high horses and are telling everybody the right does not celebrate death. The right mourns the passing of Rob Reiner. We take the high road on these situations.
A lot of them, just to make sure that their meaning was perfectly crystal clear, said, unlike the left with Charlie Kirk.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, we don't delight in death the way you godless ghouls did when Charlie Kirk was murdered. You absolute pieces of shit. We are so much nicer and better than you. It's appalling. And then Donald Trump breaks through a brick wall like the Kool-Aid man and posts the most offensive shit you could imagine. And suddenly the right says, oh, that's how we're doing this, boss? Fine. I'll back your play. And suddenly every right winger is posting, fuck Rob Reiner, that piece of shit. I can't wait till they bury him so I can piss on his grave. Fuck him and everything he ever stood for. And as I mentioned this when I was tweeting, is that the through line of all of this was owning the libs and being better than the liberals. That you open the day by stating that you're going to take the high road, unlike the liberals. And then once things go weird because you follow a psychopath for a president as your cult leader, and now you got to back what he said, you become an absolute piece of shit. Like Jack Posobiec did the whole high ground thing, and then after the high ground thing bombed, he was like, oh, Donald Trump did a mean tweet, now you're all upset.
The man who cried at a fucking pizza restaurant. He can sit down and shut the hell up.
You can sit down at a different pizza restaurant.
I had read an article about the party at Conan O'Brien's that they had all been at the night before the murder and stuff. And in the article, they had mentioned that, like, Rob Reiner, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, Rob Reiner made, like, a heartfelt post that, you know, it's unacceptable and he feels bad for Charlie Kirk's family and stuff. So this guy that they're all hating on, I don't like his politics are a little too shit-libby for me. I admit that. And I don't like his JFK stuff, but, like,
Mike, what are your thoughts on his guy? I don't think you've ever said that to us.
He was a decent guy, and it's like, you can hate his politics, but are you going to sit there and tell me you don't like Spinal Tap? Or Princess Bride? Or All in the Fucking Family? Are you going to tell me you don't like All in the Family? Are you that fucking ridiculous and so caught up in politics that you can't sit down and go, I like the Princess Bride. Everyone likes the Princess Bride. Everyone. It's unbelievable how these people are acting.